Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First Round Nothing, head on over to ecwpress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to Tales with TR 180A. I'm your host, Terry Ryan Jr. And I tell you this is my third time fucking recording this. I did it last night. I got up this morning and we're filming Shoresy. And hello, everybody, by the way. Thanks for listening. So it's really hectic, right? Like, because we're in there, we go in and like first thing in the morning today, I think my pickup was 7:06 or something. Yes, it's that specific. And I get there and I get out of there at now. So what's it now? 10:04. Okay, a little while ago. I got back probably an hour ago. So, you know, you're talking 14 hours, right? And that's normal, especially at the beginning when we do these. I guess we're in our third week. And the first week's stunt rehearsals and stuff and going over the plays you're going to do. And then we did a week of mostly, I call it acting. It's all acting, but you know what I mean? The dialogue scenes. But we get all the hot out of the way pretty early too. So that's this week. So today, for example, you know, we're in every scene, even if it's not of us, we're in the on the bench, whatever. So they're long days. Days are long, but these are really long. Maximum, right? You're pillar to post all day. So I was tired. I got back yesterday, recorded one for like an hour. And like really went over some things. I answered some questions that listeners had. I talked a little bit about the Oilers, the Leafs. Just because, again, it dealt with some of the questions that a lot of you had for me. Some stuff on Arizona Coyotes playing where they do, which is really one of the oddest things in sports that's become almost so normal. We're kind of numb to it. But, I mean, it's still ridiculous that a team in the NHL plays not only in a small college arena, but like a small – that would be small for the East Coast League, right? The rink the Newfoundland Growlers playing at home is twice as big. It's wild. But anyway, so we talked about that, some music I talked about. My thoughts on Mike Babcock. There's just a bunch of stuff. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it because I've spent an hour. So that was last night. I recorded, and for some reason, I looked up and I hadn't pressed record like an idiot. I have no one to blame it on but myself. I didn't press fucking record. So then this morning I got up, I said, okay, I'm gonna get picked up at 7:06, whatever it was. So I'll do my thing. I'll set my clock for 5:30, I think. But I always have to get up and take a whiz around then anyway, and I'm high strung, so I often don't get back to sleep. This was the case. I had to take up, boom, take a whiz, and said, fuck it, it's 5:30, I'm gonna record it now. So I did another podcast kind of with a little bit of an overlap, some new things. And that, for some reason, now I did record that. And like I said, I record them. If it's on Zoom, I send them through to the Hockey Podcast Network. If it's on StreamYard, most of them, I do an hour. Like, you can see this right now. I'm talking. You can see this on YouTube, right? Oh, and I'm naked. I was literally getting in the bath, and I said, if I get in the fucking bath, I'm going to get a hot bath. I'm going to read a bit of a book, get out. McD wants to play some PS5 golf, PGA 2K23. It's awesome. We play at these courses all over the world, man. It's a laugh. Get back after a long day, smoke half a joint, maybe take a gummy or two, snack on some sunflower seeds, I suppose, yeah, we play that game. Then I usually finish with a movie of sorts. Could be a fucking anything movie or maybe a TV show, lots of YouTube clips. Last night it was about 2 hours, couldn't sleep, about 2 hours straight of clips from In Living Color. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a sketch comedy show, think Saturday Night Live. Real great writers, a lot of which moved over to Saturday Night Live. But, you know, so the same sort of thing. But in the early 90s, Jim Carrey was on there. My favorite Jim Carrey character ever, including Ace Ventura, including the cable guy, all of that, the mask. My favorite is Fire Marshal Bill. Fire Marshal Bill in the Miller is just, yeah, I think it's hilarious. And he's such a good actor. And he's so flawless. And he acts with his body, like his physical humor is as much, it matches the you know, the facial expressions and the comedy. So anyway, he's one of those guys, man. Like sometimes you read a script. I'm going way off here, but fuck it. I'm going to talk for 20 minutes and I'm getting the fuck out of Dutch. I'm fucking exhausted. For a few reasons. Oh, the naked comment. Not that anybody wants to see me naked, but maybe there's some girls out there that. Oh, fuck no. You know what? This is embarrassing. Oh, no. Jesus. Nearly. Yeah, why would anybody want to fucking tune in and see me naked? Why the fuck would anybody want that? So yeah, I'm going chest up. I don't have it in me. I walk around my room naked a lot. I was about to get in the bath, so fuck it. So technically I'm doing the podcast naked, but you know, you can't really see much unless you like my upper body, which never was great. I was never that muscular guy, you know? Decent shape, always good cardio. Decent, what's the word? I don't know. There's not much science to it. I just look down. If I'm 190, I don't go much under 195. I don't go much over 200. So I've just been there for the last, I don't know how many years, like 20. The only time otherwise, the Habs, and I wanted me to put on weight for a bit. I didn't like that. I went up to 215. I felt like my goal wasn't to go out and mix it up out there. I liked doing it once in a while. I did it more than once in a while. But I still never got out. Like when I got on the ice, I thought offensively. And with 15 extra pounds, it's exactly like you would think. You feel 15, it's like you're carrying around 15 pounds. And last year for sure, Z2. Obviously, now that it's out, you obviously see why we had to put on some weight. Now, why am I talking about my fucking body? No, I blurted out that I was naked. I needed to justify that. But yeah, I mean, I've been in good shape, but I don't know. Even ever since, for sure, as he wanted me to work out. I don't know, like cardio, yes. And, you know, just with running and being on, I mean, those muscles, your muscles, they don't atrophy, you know. It's different than if you're just drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes, keeping your weight down. But I feel that if you're doing the things, you know, I'm playing a lot of ball hockey and ice hockey. I do, at commercials, I do push-ups, the odd sit-up, but mostly push-ups. Try to do like 50, 100 a day, and that's it. That's what I do. Now, I skate almost every day. Like a good level of, at home, it's at noon hour, like a lot of ex-pros, senior players, good hockey players, you know, that keep the pace up. I do that. Now, I had two weed gummies, 40 milligrams each, and a coffee, so I know I'm fucking rambling. And I don't even, but I'm, I had nothing to talk about here. And, yeah, a bit wired here, but that's it. I don't want to, my third fucking podcast. One, I don't press record. The other doesn't go through, and now I'm just winging it. What the hell did I, how did I start this nonsense? Anyway, yes. You're asking me, some of you asked me about the Oilers, and again, it's because I do the Gregor show. I didn't do it Monday because I had to work. It's a lot long days, as you know, as I've said. But I'll be on there tomorrow. I should be. I'm not in all scenes tomorrow. So I should be done like halfway through the day. And I go on the Edmonton radio 3 to 5 their time, or 3 to 6. And here that would be, I guess, 5 o'clock. For you Newfoundlanders, I know there's a lot of you listening at 6:30. But it's live on YouTube, and you know, then it goes out in podcast form. But obviously, being in Edmonton, I talk a lot about the Oilers, and I have to watch all the Oilers games. Have to. It's usually a treat. But I'm looking now, man. This is wild. So this, I was talking about them yesterday, and this morning. You know, and they were bad enough. Right now, sense that. Right now, it's 10:04, and the Oilers are down 10:13. Sorry, fuck. What a head on me, man. I can barely see, like, 3 feet in front of me, and I normally have good vision. I'm not saying that, like, from a complaining about my vision per se. It's just, like, it's been a long day. And looking down at the phone and call sheet and doing the stunts and having our helmet and our skates on all day. My vision gets all fucked up. Anyway, what am I talking about? It's 6-1 after the second period for the Hurricanes over the Oilers. Man, I don't know, man. That is a fucking dumpster fire. 6-1. They're getting pasted again. Pasted. There's another period left. Man. I don't know. Clearly it wasn't Woodcroft. I say that from a point of love for Chris Knobloch. I don't think he's going to be a bad NHL coach. Knobloch, I think I've mentioned it on here. I get my podcasts and appearances mixed up on these things. Knobloch played on the Red Deer Rebels in 96-97, and so did I. But he was traded right before I got there. I was in Montreal. They had me practice with the Canadiens right up until the junior deadline and trading. Deadline in trading. Trading deadline. Fuck. I just stayed in Montreal till like February. I went to Red Deer and I last 16 games of the regular season and 16 in the playoffs. And, you know, they made a bunch of moves around the deadline. And one of them was to move Knobloch to Edmonton. Not because he was a bad player. He was part of a trade. Wasn't so much of a dump because he played another 2 years. And then he went on to play in University of Alberta with some of my real good friends from Tri-Cities, two of them being Ryan Marsh, Mike Hurley, three of them, and Mark Hurley. And I think Doug Strobel was there. A lot of guys from the Western League, almost all of them. And Knobloch, you know, he was good for the University of Alberta Golden Bears, played, I think, 5 years, war letter. They won at least two national championships in that time, if not three. Then he went pro. Real, real good guy, and I don't know him that well. I just, obviously, I came into Red Deer and I was reminded every day, they really didn't want to trade him away. It's just it sometimes that's the way hockey works. But you know, I wish no ill upon that guy for sure. He's a real passionate guy with his family, with the game. He's respectful. I just didn't think it was the coach when they got rid of Woodcroft, and you know, I still don't. You could put Scotty Bowman in his hand there, man. I don't think much different is going to happen I don't think a bad coach is going to look bad or a great coach is going to look great. I think it's neutral. Like whatever they know at this point, it's not systems, right? Is it a motivating thing? I don't know. Wonder why Vancouver doing good. Do you think doing well? Do you think maybe it's something to do? Like I wouldn't want to turn and piss and see Rick Tocchet looking at me pissed off. I don't know though. Maybe that's subconscious. I don't remember playing like because I was good because I was scared of a coach, but I don't know. Maybe it plays a part. Maybe not. I don't know. But I really don't think this is a coaching thing. I think you put a pylon back there. They all know, like, you know what I mean? They know the systems. It's not like they're it's just these stupid mistakes. And if McDavid and Draisaitl and company, but if they're not scoring, I don't know. I think more than anything you're seeing now, I think they maybe blurred the true vision of what the team really is by scoring so much. I don't know. I wouldn't have thought it. Like, again, if you name all the players, they're good. I don't know. Go down the lineup. Nugent, Hopkins, and Kane, fucking Bouchard, Ekholm, fuck, Nurse, Jesus, right? Connor Brown. I mean, he's a good NHLer in my mind. Zach Hyman. And you know, they're third and fourth liners. Like, Warren Fogle, I think, is good. Derek Ryan, ballsy guy, goes to the net. Desharnais, 6'7", got in a fight the other night. Now, goalies, I don't know, man. That's not all of it, though, but that's a problem, right? They're out shooting teams most nights. Like, I keep going, like, the Oilers are going to snap out of this. I keep really thinking it. And if nothing else, I'm watching all the games. They're out shooting other teams most games. I don't know. Like, I'm a big analytic guy, but I know that, like, if you get way more shots than the other teams and two of the people shooting are two of the best players in the game, I mean, I don't fucking know. Wouldn't you think the bubble has to burst? But it's not like they're losing now 3-2. It's another, they're losing 6-1. As I say this, we're probably going to lose worse. I don't know. Okay, wait. Two. And one of the goals must have been called back. I'm just looking at my phone, the actual score, 5-2. Okay, 5-2. I still don't think they're going to win. It's the third period. They could get three, though. I mean, the boys could get five. But again, right, even if one goal got disallowed, I didn't see it, but it must have gone in the net, right? It's probably like an offsides or some shit. It's just like they're really, really fucking bad defensively. And if they're going to be bad offensively, because they're horrendous in net, right? They're fucking horrendous in net. But I don't know. I want to look at how many shots. How many shots? Look at that. 12 shots against Skinner, 5 goals. And Pickard 1. Well, 8 goals. Yeah. Pickard got 1 goal against 8 shots. So, yeah, Skinner started. Unfucking believable, man. Right? What are the shots on goal? Give me a second. Sorry. Give me a second. Yeah, look. 18-15 Edmonton. Fucking embarrassing. Jesus. I don't know. And so, and are they, I'm looking at the games too. They do get a lot of shots, but they're not good like they used to be, meaning like McDavid's not getting in as many breakaways, 2-on-1s. But I don't know. No, to me, it's defensive, and it's not just when they have the puck. It's not just when they don't have the puck in their own. I mean, when I say defensively, I mean, it's all over the ice. It's like when they make changes. There's been like multiple, too many men on ice calls. There's been times that there's only 3 players like in the play because they changed late. There's been like turnovers. There's been goals, 2-on-1s the other way when like a veteran like Nurse, Ekholm, or Kulak or Bouchard is like in the up other team's end, like up behind the net. Like, how does Kulak get up there? He's not an offensive defenseman. He's up behind the opposing team's net. Like, shit that you would correct in a Adam game. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, what are they doing? Just anybody. You literally have to know nothing about hockey and watch an Oilers, like, highlight package from any game, most games this year, not any game. I'd say 1 of 8. And you would pick up the mistakes immediately. Just knowing time and space as a human. And looking at it, if this is the arena, right, you could know nothing about hockey. If this is the arena and that net is to score and this net is to keep the puck out, right, if you looked, you'd say, well, why are 4 players up behind the net when we don't have the puck? Exactly. Player X, I don't fucking know. It's, yeah. I'm not exaggerating. I remember, well, I don't know. Like, just think about it. Think about watching soccer and seeing, like, you know, no one defending or no strikers, where, you know, or a striker back by the goalie. You wouldn't even need to know much about the game if you just knew anything about where, how many players are on the field, right? You wouldn't even have to know the word striker or defender, right? Well, we need some people there and we need some people here, and then a few in the middle. So, of course, we're not scoring if there's nobody here with the ball. You know what I mean? Like, I could look at hockey for one period, I think. I might be being presumptuous, but once I do and I realize, you know, just an easy, there's five players on that team and a goalie, and there's five players on this team and a goalie. And if they have the puck, and there's three of them, why is there only one of us in the area? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't take much to see the level of errors that the Oilers are making, is my point. I don't know. Watch any other goddamn team. Watch Tampa Bay in their, like, and not any team, but let's say a team in their playoff run. Let's say Tampa Bay Lightning, a good team over the last few years, a great team over the last few years, a couple of cups. Even when they got upset, you know, they had a good team. Meaning, watch the goals that go in. They go in, and there's fault, of course. But, like, teams don't let goals in like these. You know, even look at the Oilers last year in the playoffs. They didn't. There was even with McDavid Dreisaitl not scoring as much this year. Obviously, that is a big part of why they're not scoring as many goals. But they still, like, you'd be hard pressed to find as many errors in the whole playoffs that they played last year. Again, they went third round. They lost to Vegas, who played, you know, who won the Stanley Cup. You could make an argument the Oilers were the second best team in the league last year. You really could make that argument, and you wouldn't be out to lunch saying it. And you could take the errors that they made in three rounds of the playoffs and I think they make more in maybe not one game, but two games this year. Like, it's fucking crazy. I mean, blatant errors, not like, you know, a giveaway, just a regular giveaway. I'm not saying that because there's over 10 a game usually for both teams. So, like, just a giveaway is one thing. I mean, a fucking extra large pizza, extra sauce from the fucking corner with nobody around sending people in on breakaways. I mean, like, having the puck entering the zone and falling on your face. I mean, like, two defensemen up behind the goal line in the offensive end. Like, I mean, crazy shit that you never see an Adam team, a good Adam team, do. And the Oilers are doing that every night, it seems. Something. So I don't know. And they're all players that know the game. So, you know, small sample size, okay. But if you really look at the large picture outside, and Woodcroft took him. I mean, I thought he had a good playoff. The guy was what, 70-odd and like 41? He had a great record with them. And that's the move they made? I'm looking at this team. I'm looking at goalies with a combined average or goals or save percentage of like 820. Like the worst since the fucking, there was a Rover in the game in 1922. Right? Obviously, that's a major problem. Now, Woodcroft got, you know, he had a well-oiled machine out of this group of mess. Right? So, I don't know. What do you do? I don't know. By the way, I don't know how I started talking about this, but this was one of your questions. Someone, I don't know where it is. Anyway, this is what I was talking about last night. I'm on a rant again. I don't know. I want them to do well. I'm now that I watch them and you know, you watch a team like that thing. I was pretty impartial before, as far as cheering for teams. Like I've often said, I got a good buddy, David Roper, grew up one of my best friends from Mount Pearl, and he's on the Leafs training staff, you know. So obviously I don't cheer for the Leafs, but I cheer for Rope Dog, and it wouldn't kill me if they win. Habs, obviously alumni. I mean, it's great. that vibe in Montreal's awesome. I'm privileged to be a part of that. Outside of those two things, I watch the Oilers, and, you know, having to watch them all the time, you grow an affinity for them. And not only do I feel kind of, what's the word, not let down as a fan, frustrated, because they're good guys. It seems like it's not like they want to lose. Like, no one wants to, but I don't think they're a group that is selfish. You know, they came back because, you know, they seem to have good leadership when it comes to saying the right things. They're humble. They seem to be. You know, but you got to go do it. And I don't know. You got the best players, should be the best leaders. If leading by an example is things, they really by default should be up there. I hear from sources close, really, or people close to the source, that McDavid and Draisaitl are great teammates. People love them. So what is it? What's going on? Are they lazy, or do they need a guy like Tocchet, or maybe worse, maybe or better, depending on your look? Maybe they need Babcock, right? Don't laugh when I say that. I talk about Michelle Therrien. Maybe they need a guy like that. Maybe they need a Mike Keenan. I don't know. But it's got to be something, because the mistakes they're making are obvious. Like I said, you would pick it out if you never knew anything about the game. They don't even, just the laws of physics and looking at five players on one side and five on the other, you can point out that the Oilers are off the mark. I mean, anyway, I do think at some point they're going to break out. I think McDavid could still win the scoring. You know, you might laugh that he's 15 points behind? That's a good weekend for him when he's flying. But now, as far as the Oilers, I don't know if I see. I don't know if they're very good. Something with this group of players doesn't click. They're, for some reason, even though they must be every day, Bouchard will still pinch when he shouldn't. Nurse, who's, I really think, underrated, because people walk all over him. And for that one win that they had, he jumped in front of a guy shooting on an empty net, blocked it, and they went down and scored. Like, he does a lot right, but man, when he plays bad, I don't know if there's a fucking D out there with a more disorganized cranium. I don't. Now, is that a result of the people playing around him? Maybe. I don't know. Darnell Nurse has always, in my mind, been a solid, good defenseman, sometimes great, that really should know where to be on the ice, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. We're out there doing these Shorzy stunts and stuff, and we have to make it look real. So we go. We go through everything you see when we're doing those. We go over the plays, of course, and what we're going to do, guys. We're going to break out. We need Dolo to come in. He's going to get the puck in the slot. He's going to get it from Fish. Fish maybe do a button hook, then give it to him. The camera's over here. Here's where camera is. Here's where A camera is. Terry, make sure you don't stack, meaning like get in the way of the play that's going to happen. You're going to come in back. Dolo, when he gets it, is going to drop it to you. You're going to fire it. Now, that's kind of what we do. We go out and then we talk about it. Then we go over. It's called blocking. We block the play, meaning like kind of rehearse. Then we put the cameras in place and we actually rehearse it. And then, you know, we do the play. But one of the things is that it can't look too easy, and it can't. So that's one reason that Jared gets the pro players, and even the guys we're playing against are accomplished hockey players, because we can do it, and you know, we can easily do what he's asking, and you know, we do it a few times, and there's different nuances in each play, and then, you know, it'll always, you know, we know generally what we're doing. It'll play out differently than we're going to talk about it, right? But we have guys that can think on the spot, and then so that we do. But one thing that we make sure of is that people aren't far out of position, because it looks obvious on camera, right? And you want the show to look like people know what they're doing, which we do. But I'm telling you right now, a lot of these Oilers, but we talked about this today. Well, I talked about it with the stunt guys, Cam Fergus, one of them. 50-goal scoring Cape Breton and Newfoundland Senior Hockey League legend. I thought I'd mention that. I might have him on my pod on Friday, actually. But anyway, we were talking about it, and I said, really, like, look at these goals by the Oilers. I brought up like 8 or 9. I was like, we couldn't even do those. We could not run these plays because the Oilers are so out of position. It would look fake. It would look fake. If it took the puck there and scored, no one would ever leave me this open. Yet, we're watching NHL highlights.
Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. With DraftKings, you can bet on any game you want. Whether you want to bet the puck line or the over-under, DraftKings has something for everybody. And if you want, you can throw down on your favorite player as an anytime goal scorer. Or if you're looking for a long-term bet, maybe you want to predict the Stanley Cup champion. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. New customers get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023, all rights reserved. It may be too early to start decorating for the holidays, but it's never too early to start your holiday shopping. So why not take care of it now before the crowds and packed calendars make shopping a total nightmare? Especially when you can get some of the best deals of the season well before Black Friday, you can shop Raycon products right now and save up to 50% off. Yes, 50% off, because their early Black Friday sale is going on right now. You've probably heard me talk about some of Raycon's products on here before, like how great they are for listening to the Hockey Podcast Network or some of TR's music recommendations. Raycon first made a name for themselves in the audio space with products like their everyday earbuds, known for delivering high quality and thoughtful features like a 32-hour battery life or a perfect in-ear fit for all-day lasting comfort. And this past year, Raycon expanded their entire business with the introduction of Raycon Home and Raycon PowerTech. The Raycon Home Faucet Filter ultra filters the water in your tap against chlorine and heavy metals. It's a must-have for ensuring that the water you use to wash your face and brush your teeth is, you know, actually clean. Or if you're looking for a great stocking stuffer, their 5-star reviewed Magic 180 cable allows you to charge iOS, micro USB, and Type-C devices 8 times faster with 100-watt power delivery. Raycon is known for delivering high quality and thoughtful features at half the price of other premium tech brands. It's no wonder their products have racked up tens of thousands of 5-star reviews. To get everyone in the holiday shopping spirit a bit early, Raycon is currently offering 20% off everything on their site, with select products up to 50% off. So beat the crowds now. Trust me, you do not want to miss out on Raycon's early Black Friday sale. Hurry now to buyraycon.com/THPN to get 20 to 50% off site-wide. That's buyraycon.com/THPN to score up to 50% off Raycon products. buyraycon.com/THPN.
Now look, I don't want to, I hate leaving podcasts on a bad note, and I get to get the fuck out of Dodge. I got to get a bath. I'm playing McD soon in golf. I got to go over my lines tomorrow. It's a heavy dialogue day. And, Jesus, I'm on TikTok. Holy fuck. I started putting videos together, like really before I was just like tossing up like a video straight up. I didn't really look. Anyway, God, it took me like to actually create and be kind of original. And like, so I took like Chicklets Cup Buffalo today. Like, you know, I had like 30 pictures and a couple of videos. It took about 4.5 hours, man. Holy fuck. So I don't know if I need that platform in my life, but stay tuned regardless. And what else? Listen, a lot of people are asking me about these appearances and speeches. Some people, I come in for the weekend. I've got one lined up in Banff in January 26th. I'm done here in Sudbury December 19th. And I'm going to spend Christmas. And then they come. I got one in Banff January 26th. And then March, I got a couple. I've got Hershey, Pennsylvania, some for cancer. I've got Calgary. I've got Moncton. I've got Fredericton. I've got, I believe, Vancouver with Dolo. So sometimes it's a speech. Sometimes it's a Q&A. Those are my favorite because I just talk a lot and I'd rather answer directly what fans have to say. It might be running a little ball hockey clinic. It might be talking to kids. It might be doing the, you know, the intro, starting lineups for a team like I did last year in Rapid City, South Dakota. Anyway, look, I don't want to talk numbers over this, but I don't have a website. I get some people like, well, the only way it's, I run into people in a bar or, you know, they'll come on the set of Shoresy and, you know, wish me luck. And, hey, are you available this particular weekend? And, you know, there's a fee for those things. And I do have one, but, you know, it works for everybody because I usually bring a couple of sticks, maybe a jersey or something, sign it or make up the jersey, right? Like usually a Montreal jersey or a Hitchcock jersey, right? Sign two or three of them or 10, auction them off, then pay me my fee. I do a speech. We maybe charge to come in. You know, get some local companies, donate some beers and whatever and sell those. And usually people make a decent dollar. I wouldn't go anywhere if I didn't raise $10,000 for them directly. And, you know, if it's a group, obviously that changes. But, you know, so, and I do charge a fee for that. I never really talk about it, but I don't have a website or anything. And I do have a lot of these gigs now. And it's literally people just assuming maybe that I do it. And so, look, I keep meaning to say it on here. And yes, of course, it's a shameless plug, but that's, I do it. And a lot of people tell me it goes over. You might be raising money for minor hockey or a disease or just want me to come and talk shorts. I mean, I don't know. Usually they're fundraisers. I don't care. Or, and I do care if it's for ISIS or some shit, I don't want to do it. Right. You get the point. Charity is charity. It's usually a very positive atmosphere and I like helping out when I can. Plus, getting paid myself, everybody wins, right? Bring home some dough. Anyway, it's the way it goes. So just shoot me a note and tryan91@hotmail.com or, you know, track me down on Twitter is the best. I hate to say Instagram because I'm inundated with messages. Definitely not Twitter, not TikTok, sorry. TikTok, guys, I don't answer any messages. I don't follow anybody. I'm just posting. I find that a mishmash of chaotic hell. But I do check Instagram way more. And yeah, Twitter is the best avenue for me because it just keeps them separate. And anyway. Yeah, so there's that. And then I guess I should say, you want some merch, right? Go to my Instagram profile. I got hoodies, hats, and t-shirts. I'm going to come out with some real cool new stuff. I want to sell this first. No one's making money off this, by the way. This is, I'm coming out with a drink next summer. And this was one of the ways, you know, the logo, I'm going to kind of cross brand Tales with TR. And, It's good, you know, the TR, you know, the symbol and the sticks for my podcast. I'm going to use that on the drink as well. So we're going to cross brand that. So yeah, I'm not making any money whatsoever on this stuff that I'm selling. I'm merely, yeah, it's advertising money for the drink. So I get that back. It just pays me back. Basically, I think I made like $5,000 worth of stuff. So there's probably not much left. After that, I'll have a new collection. But this stuff is good, man. It is good. I like it. I went down. I tried it on with the boys. I love the trucker hats. I like hoodies anyway. T-shirt's a T-shirt, to be honest. But, you know, if you like Tales with TR, you want to support the troops. Or, Jesus, support me. Support the podcast. And feel free. You want a book, go to, okay, those... If you buy them through me, I don't have time, and I end up charging too much. I just, for the amount of headache and, you know, taking them up and putting them in the mail myself and go to buy them for $20 at the store, signing them, doing all that, I'll charge you $50. You don't need that. What you want to do, my first book, best-selling Tales of a first round nothing. You want to order that? You want me to sign it? Go to ECW.com, right? You can buy it on Amazon. But if you go through ECW and add a note, they'll send it to me, and then I'll sign it and send it to you, right? And right now there's lots of time before Christmas. So if you want to do it, go to ECW.com, write a note. You'll get it for $20 plus shipping, which will probably be $25 altogether. And if I was to send it to you, it would be double that at least, probably a couple dollars more. So www.flankerpress.com, same thing. Go to www.flankerpress.com. It's called Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore. And same thing, just add a note. They'll send it to me. I sign it. I send it back to you. It's that easy. So there's the merch, the appearances, and the books. If you want any of the above, just let me know. Guys, I got to take off. I'm busy and I'm dying to get in that bathtub. Yes, I'm a grown man and I take baths almost every night. And Penny Lane and I, that's the next thing. We got our white Jeep. We're saving up for a hot tub. That's what she wants for Christmas. I said, a hot tub? Our place is small. It doesn't have a bath. And trust me, I'd rather a hot tub. A bath. I've usually had one in whatever house I'm living in and like to get one at night and a shower after that, piping hot shower after the bath and fall asleep whenever I want after that. Really, really helps with that. But yeah, I love hot tubs and we got a couple picked out. Although I'm curious about these Costco ones that are like $400 and $500 and they're like inflatable. I know this sounds insane, but I see them and they got great reviews. I don't know anybody with one. If you've got one, please send me a message. Let me know how they go. Costco. I mean, I might just go there and buy it. If not, I think I'm going to go use these, even a basic hot tub, at least the ones I'm looking at in Newfoundland, because we're an island, we often get fucked over. There's extra money with shipping and all that shit worked into the cost, but, or, you know, even if it's already there, it's been shit. You know, I don't see any for really under $8, $6, like for a tiny, tiny. Yeah, $6 would be the cheapest, and there's not much out there. Like I said, tiny. And poorly reviewed. We saw a couple like $8 or $10. I'm like, man, that's expensive. In my mind, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking and you guys think it's not. I think it's expensive. And then, you know, it costs a lot. I mean, your heat bill's going to go up, right? So, or electricity, yeah. So I'm looking for used, or if this Costco one, if I hear that they're good for $500, I'm on cloud 9. But other than that, don't let her know. But Penny Lane, that's probably what we'll get for Christmas. She wants to see Paul McCartney. God love her, you know, and Paul's 80 now and a huge Beatles fan. I've seen him. I don't know what he can deliver up there, although he sounds surprisingly good, and so do the Rolling Stones. For that matter, live lately, just what I'm watching on TV. But I know, man, at any point, McCartney's not going to be able to tour, right? And it's more about the sentiment. She loves the Beatles. She knows their whole catalog. She's taken the ride with me. I mean, her name is Penny Lane. I don't know if you guys have ever been to a Paul McCartney concert, Ringo Starr for the older of you, George Harrison, back in the day, John Lennon. But a Beatles concert, any one of the Beatles, It's a celebration of love, and it really is a great warm feeling of unity and an appreciation for not only music but life. And you know, a lot of the reasons I tell you guys I like the Beatles, they're obvious when you go to a McCartney concert. So I just wanted to see that, see tens of thousands of people coming together and smiling, right, and loving something still after, you know, well, a lot more than half a century, the love that resonates and lasts in this crazy world of polar opposites and infighting within teams, families, parties, politically, businesses. Social media can be depressing and cruel and evil. And no matter what your opinion is, if there are extreme people within your group that threaten all the rest of it, it's for many reasons a pretty gloomy time if you choose to go that route. Of course, I don't choose to, but it's obvious, right? There's a lot of tension in the society we live in. Well, what better a time to go see one of the Beatles deliver Beatles songs in a Beatle way with a Beatle appreciation crowd that is there for the vibe as much as anything. And I want her to see that. And we're going to take her friend and McKenna. I'm good friends with her dad, Blair Downey, and that's what we're going to do. So that's first and foremost, but he hasn't announced a tour. He's in Brazil. I'm thinking if he's going in Brazil, you know, and then he's like, he's announcing as he goes. So it was one show in Brazil, and now it was like seven places. And then it's like, oh, and we're also going to play Mexico City. And now we're also going to play, you know, and he's announcing these places in South America and a couple, I think, in Europe. Like, you know, all of a sudden they're peppered all over the world. So I'm thinking he's got to come to North America. It doesn't have to be in North America. I'd prefer if it wasn't all the way to Brazil, although, you know, just taking Penny Lane. Ideally North America, if not Europe. I'd love to go to Australia, but it'll be a long way to take a little girl for a few days. So anyway, I don't even know what I was talking about, but I know I got to go. Thanks for listening. This is Tales with TR 180A. If you're downtown St. John's and you want to go to a bar, okay, go to Trinity Pub, TJ's Pub, Rob Roy Confusion, Martini Bar, Green Sleeps Pub, or Bull and Barrel. If you want to go for a bite to eat, why not do it at Loose Tie, Merchant Tavern, or Blue on Water? If you want to go work out, go to Power Conditioning, Rope Walk Lane, for strength and balance for the body and mind, Ryan Power, Power Conditioning. If you want, Mr. Lube, there's two places right there in St. John's. Live Laugh Lube, Torbay Road, Kenmount Road. Like I said, Live Laugh Lube. Pitbull Pain Relief, the pain sticks that just don't quit. Go to pitbullpainrelief.com. True Hockey, take what's yours. I'm out of here. Thanks for listening. Back in a couple of days. Love you guys. See you soon.